So we've got Sarah Jane Marshall going to be preaching in a moment, but I forgot we've got a visiting guest before she comes. So,
I've got so much to do today because, you know, it's the first Sunday of Advent and so Operation Christmas is go, go, go. I've got to decorate the Christmas tree and I'll photograph it later once the kids have gone to bed and I've rearranged all the baubles that they've stuffed at the bottom. I've got to bake a Christmas cake. Got to get that done so it's rested. I've got to do three costumes for the Nativity this year. Handmade, of course. What else have I got to do? Oh, gosh, it's Black Friday, isn't it? This weekend. I've got to catch those deals quickly because they'll be gone today. Got to do that. Must remember to do that. And okay. It's all right, because you know what? My sister's around this weekend. So I thought she'll help out. We'll get it done together. But you would not believe what she's gone and done. She's supposed to be helping me. What's she done? She's gone off for a prayer walk, hasn't she? Ah, yeah, nice little walk down the river with Jesus. Lovely. Here I am, slaving away, trying to get everything done. All right for some. Anyway, I've got to do this. Then I've got to do some handprint cards. Oh, no. Chloe's got to learn her lines. We've got to get that done as well. Oh, my goodness me. How am I going to get this all done? My head's in a real spin. Anyway, you won't believe what happened. A little old lady next door came round with her Christmas card, first one of the year. Do you know what it says? Have a peace-filled Christmas. A peace-filled Christmas. Fat chance of that. Anyway, gotta go. See ya. That was just a bit of silly fun, wasn't it? But hopefully you recognised the character that I was basing my character on. It was?
Martha
in the Bible. And in this really busy season as we start Advent, it was actually surprisingly or worryingly easy to write that because we all get a bit like Martha, don't we? So today we're going to look at the story where Jesus visited the home of Martha and Mary. And we're going to think about what does it mean to be like Mary did and have the space to sit with Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. So let's read this together. Hopefully it will come up on the screen. It's chapter 10 of Luke's Gospel. Here we go. At the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to come and help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, I don't know about you, but I have a lot of sympathy for Martha. I'm a busy mum, and there's always stuff to do. Okay, my chores are endless. There is already someone who needs my attention in my house. Clothes to put on, faces to wipe, bums to wipe. Always. And as I sort of feed my children, I can see the chores growing because I'm feeding them and they're spilling it down them. And I'm thinking, that's another thing in the wash. That's another thing in the wash. It just goes on, doesn't it? I was chatting to Joe and I was saying, what's your equivalent? And he was saying when he's on a Teams call, like a Zoom call with work, he's sat there on his call, but he can also hear his inbox going, bing, bing, Bing. Another email to respond to, another email to respond to, another email to respond to. It's just continuous, isn't it? Life is busy for all of us. And all of us have preoccupations. Homes to run, rising bills to pay this year particularly, sickness in the family, relatives to care for, work targets to meet. We've all got stuff, haven't we? And there are preoccupations that consume our mental energy. And I feel sorry for Martha too, because her motives were actually really quite good, weren't they? She wanted to serve a meal lovingly to her dear friend Jesus. She was trying to do a good thing. It's not like she was off with that dodgy disciple Joseph selling socks and sliders on the side for profits. Had to put that in. No, she wanted to serve her Lord. The ESV translation actually uses that language. It says, Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve? She was doing a good thing. And oftentimes, actually, the things that take our eyes off Jesus are actually perfectly good things in and of themselves. So working to provide for our families, that is a good thing. Caring for our parents, that is a good thing. Serving on a rota here, that's a good thing. But they can be distracting things too. And so we're kind of going to think through that tension today. I don't know if you recognise Martha's attitude shift, where she felt a bit resentful. Sometimes I can do a good thing and I can do it with resent. I can make Joe a cup of tea in his working day lovingly and creep in and put it on his desk, or I can do it a bit resentfully. I can make it a bit angrily, a bit noisily, stick it down just to make a point that I've made you another cup of tea. Okay? We have to check our hearts, don't we? So the passage says Martha was distracted, or some translations say preoccupied. And we can all recognize times when the good things in life actually become preoccupations. And at Christmas in particular, there is a lot demanding our time. A lot of good things too, but they are demanding our time and potentially preoccupying us. And sometimes the stress of it actually becomes a blocker for us stopping. I was trying to think about what it feels like when I get in that sort of tizzy space. And for me, it feels like taking the time to pause is like a luxury I can't afford. Or perhaps I've got a nagging feeling that I need to pray about something. I know I need to pray about this something, but I just haven't got the headspace right now. So I put it off. Or like I'm sort of on a treadmill, and if I stop, I don't want to stop actually, because if I do stop, it might all fall apart. Do you know the feeling? So what does Martha do? Well, she goes to interrupt Jesus, which I think is actually quite a brave thing to do. There's the rabbi teaching, presumably with a little crowd. She goes and interrupts him. So we give her some credit for that, right? She's actually been brave enough to go to Jesus with her need and to say, hang on a minute, I don't feel this is fair. And she's hoping that he will back her up and say to Mary, come on, pull your weight and help your sister. Now, how does he respond? If we look at verse 41. He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. It's not the response that she was hoping for, is it? Not at all. And I could imagine if I was her, I'd feel a bit embarrassed by that. A bit embarrassed by that response in front of everybody. I might just want to run off back to the kitchen. Or I might be really defensive and say, but hang on a minute. That's not fair. But I hear a kinder tone to Jesus' voice. I don't know about you. He says her name twice at the beginning. I think that's quite significant. Sort of, Martha, slow down. Martha, I love you. And he's actually inviting her, I think, to slow down and to come and join them. To say, just slow down, you're missing out. Not she's chosen better, I'm telling you off, but she's chosen better, don't miss it, come and join us. Because here, you will find peace. Mary was so distracted that she had omitted to spend time with her guest. I don't know if you ever do that at a party or something when you're hosting. Sometimes we can be all in a flurry, trying to get, you know, everything ready. Joe will sometimes ask me, he'll say, oh, did you have any good conversations? And I've had sort of like very shallow conversations, but I've actually been fussing too much to actually sit down and to be with the person that I've invited. And Martha didn't have any old guests, did she? She had Jesus in her house, in her garden. How amazing must that have been? And so as we look towards Christmas, we'll read this prophecy, won't we? In Isaiah 9:6, this is the classic Christmas reading. If we could have it up, please. It says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So this is an Old Testament writing kind of predicting what the Messiah will be like. And this is the guy that Martha has in her garden. So Mary has chosen to sit down and to learn from the Wonderful Counselor, the man who is also Mighty God. Jesus, who reveals the love of the Everlasting Father. He says, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus, who is called the Prince of Peace. And that's just the complete antithesis, the complete opposite to the distraction, the worry, and the anxiety that Martha was carrying. So I was thinking, what does it mean for us to call Jesus the Prince of Peace? We kind of sing it at this time of year, don't we? It's like in a lot of our Christmas songs, and it's nicely alliterated, the Prince of Peace, a nice thing to say. But what does it actually mean to say, Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace? Well, it's just one of many names that are given to Jesus, isn't it? So when you're describing something so wonderful, you need lots of different names to kind of capture different aspects. And there's loads of different names for Jesus in the Bible. Like you think about Good Shepherd, Light of the World. Each one kind of gives you an insight into a different bit of his character. So Prince of Peace is one of those several names. And it's the gospel, really, isn't it? Ultimately, Jesus is the Prince of Peace because he has brought peace between us and God. That's the heart of the gospel, isn't it? That we were separated from God. There's discord there. There's disunity there. And through Jesus' death and his resurrection, he has enabled us to come close to God again and brought peace with God. He is ultimately the Prince of Peace. There's an amazing verse in Colossians that kind of summarizes the gospel. I think this is one of my favorite bits in the whole Bible. It says, for in him, that's Jesus they're talking about, for in him the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, that Almighty God dwelled in this baby. And through him, he has reconciled, he has brought home to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. This is the gospel, isn't it? That's the gospel. That we that were separated from God have been reconciled and brought home. And it's a really big gospel. I love that this passage says, he is reconciling all things, whether on earth or in heaven. So this is not just a kind of small gospel that my soul is made good with God and one day I'll go to heaven. That's not the full gospel. Okay, we miss out if we say that's the gospel. The gospel is, he is in the process of reconciling everything, all of creation, absolutely everything, our relationships, our health, everything, one day shall be made right. It's a really big gospel. And with that, his peace comes. And so, it's not just a peace for my soul one day in heaven. It's a peace that I get to live now. But the truth is, we become distracted, don't we? Like Martha, we become distracted from the Prince of Peace. My toddler's Bible at home, the toddler's translation says this, "Oh, Martha, you're all in a flap, worried about this and worried about that." Isn't that lovely? "Oh, Martha, you're all in a flap, worried about this and worried about that." And there's times where we all get in a flap, where the worries of life feel bigger than God. And we need to put God back in his rightful place to say, "You are bigger than those worries." Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus." Wow. "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus." Do you want more of that? I want more of that. And it's hard because our anxieties and our worries are real. And so we don't want to just dismiss them and say, you know, they're irrelevant, dwell in the peace of God. Because that's not real life, is it? We need to work a way of inviting God into those in our everyday. And this week is sort of ironic, really. I was laughing. It's not been a very peaceful week at home for us. You can probably hear it in my voice. We've all been ill, all been under the weather. We've had a teething baby, broken nights, a very emotional three-year-old. Been very little peace in that sense. And what if I had to do, write a sermon about peace? Thanks, God. But that's the tension that we live in, don't we? Life is real, but that doesn't mean I can't experience peace within that. The promise of that Philippians verse is that when we pray, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, and present our request to God, the peace of God, which is so amazing that it's beyond our understanding, will, there's the promise word, it will guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ. There is nothing that is too chaotic for God. There is no situation that is too chaotic into which the peace of God can't break in. I was chatting this through with my dad, who is a Church of England vicar, and he said, "Oh yes, that's the eschatological tension." What? He said, "Oh, that's the eschatological tension of Advent." Okay, Dad, what's that? He said, "Well, Advent is when we're looking towards the arrival of Jesus, aren't we? That's what we're sort of preparing for, the arrival of Jesus. And in doing so, we're kind of also looking towards the second coming of Jesus and that hope. And so it's a place of hope, but it's also a place of waiting. And it's not yet fulfilled. Does that make sense? Because we're waiting for what will come. And so what Dad was trying to say is, it is an uncomfortable period. Advent is uncomfortable and it will feel a place of tension because it's not yet fully restored. You know, that is coming, but it's not yet. And so we can't spend our whole life on a prayer walk in that sense of, like, you know, ignoring the whole of life. That's not what we have to do. We have to find a way, it's a bit cheesy, of being on a prayer walk in our everyday. and of saying, okay, God, this is a really hard thing this week, but you are here with me. Would you bring your peace into this situation? I acknowledge that you're here with me. We have to be wary that this, for the world, is a season of acceleration, a season where we cram in more parties, more meetups, more festive activities for the kids. Good things, but good things that can distract us. So if we want to be like Mary, we actually have to be quite deliberate in taking some time to stop and be still. I could feel quite envious of Mary and Martha. They had the real Christ in their garden. I mean, how amazing must that have been to have Jesus in their garden, to have had a friendship with him, that they loved him. He rose their brother from the grave. Amazing. We could be quite envious, but we are promised something that is just as good. In John 14, Jesus is about to go to the cross, and he tells his disciples this. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You see, Jesus didn't just disappear off to heaven and kind of leave his disciples to fend for themselves. He left them the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, which he says will give them peace. Martha and Mary, they probably had actually not that much time with Jesus. When he occasionally went through Bethany, he would call in on their house, and then he was gone again. But we have the Holy Spirit every day and in every circumstance if we choose to acknowledge it. We don't need to wait for the busy rabbi to make a rare visit to our house. We have been left the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. And I think sometimes I am just so distracted and preoccupied that I forget that. So the invitation of Jesus this Advent, I feel, is to slow down a bit and to sit with him, because there is a promise of peace. I don't know if you've read the book by Bill Hybels called Too Busy Not to Pray. It's a great title. He says, if your life is rushing in many different directions at once, you are incapable of the kind of deep, unhurried prayer that is vital to the Christian walk. If your life is rushing in many directions at once, you are incapable of the kind of deep, unhurried prayer that is vital to the Christian walk. And sometimes I can feel too busy to pray even on a Sunday. Even when I'm here, I know that once the kids are let out of that door, carnage. I've got three children going in different directions, trying to eat all the biscuits. I'm distracted. And it's a Sunday. What hope does the rest of my week have? So I wanted to keep today really quite short so that we can actually do this. So it's only 10:05, that's great. We've got some time. Okay, so let's do this together. Let's have some time where we can deliberately slow down and we can reflect and we can listen like Mary did. Because Jesus calls us, and he calls us tenderly by name, like Martha, Martha. He knows our worries, our anxieties, our distractions, but the invitation is always there to slow down and to meet with him. So one day I might just invite Kathy, could you come and play for us? I think what I'd like to do is, if you'd let me, I'd like to pray over us. And then if Kathy just plays, I've got a couple of reflection questions we can put on the screen. Have some time by yourself just to think and to process and to talk with God. And then we've got this space and we've got this community. Let's just use it. Let's turn with one another and pray. And we've got, you know, a good 20 minutes before the kids come in, so we do not need to rush. So this is the wording that starts, I don't know if any of you use the app called Lectio 365. It came out of the 24/7 prayer movement. It's really good if you're looking for something just to slow you down in your day. It's an app with a morning and an evening devotion. They're about 8 minutes long. You can read them or it's got like an audio. So for me, it's the exact length of the walk back from school drop-off. And they all start like this. So shall we pray together? It says, as I enter prayer now, I pause to be still, to breathe slowly, to recenter my scattered senses upon the presence of God. God of peace, in the midst of my busyness, I offer you my worries, I bring you my brokenness, and I surrender my striving. As I rest in your presence, I cast my burdens onto you. And so, Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you are here with us already, but we ask that you would come and you would meet with us now. Would you speak into our lives? Would you speak into the things that are distracting us from you? And would you lift our gaze? Jesus, Jesus, Prince of Peace, we welcome you here and we pray, would you have your way with us? When have you felt the peace of God most profoundly in your life? What is stealing your peace at the moment? What might sitting with Jesus more intentionally look like for you this Advent? Let's just have a few minutes to think about those questions and then just break off with people around you. find someone that you trust across the room and just share, just say, how can I pray for you? How can I pray peace over you? Let's go.